Design Pickle is a big supporter of everything Unseminary. If you haven't heard, they are a flat rate, unlimited use graphic design service helping churches across the nation. We're a proud client of theirs and love how they help us make social media graphics and those downloadable PDF article summaries that we've been sending out. Even if you have a designer, you need to check them out. To learn more, visit designpickle.com/churches. On that same page, you can watch a totally free 30-minute video of me and the founder of Design Pickle talking about modern church marketing. And of course, pickles.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich, the host around these parts. Thank you so much for taking time out. Listen, we know that you're really busy this week at your church. You've got a lot going on, and we're just thankful that you would take some time to plug us in your earbuds, as we say, and just really jump into a conversation. Today, I'm privileged to have Darren Poley from River Valley Church. Now, this is a great church. If you haven't heard of it, I know I keep saying this, but if you haven't heard of River Valley, you really should. They're an incredible church. They're 20 years old. Actually, this is your 20th anniversary this year, isn't it?
Yeah, September.
That's incredible. So they're from Minnesota's Twin Cities, a great church. You know, they started with just 13 people 20 years ago and have grown a little bit larger than that today. And so we welcome Darren on the show today. Darren, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm excited to be here and be part of the podcast and listen in to what all everything's happening around the country too.
Oh, that's great. Darren, why don't you tell us a little bit about, give us a flavor of River Valley. Give us a kind of, you know, what would people expect when they get there, and then tell us about your role there at the church.
Yeah, River Valley's, we would say we're an attractional model. Mm-hmm. And so we want to bring people to the church, then send them out. So it's an attractional, excited, celebratory model. Mm-hmm. And we're multi-site. We're 8 campuses around the Twin Cities of Minnesota, and we're 2 campuses overseas. And so when we track numbers and everything, we tend to track our Minnesota campuses.
Right.
We resource our campuses around the world, one in Spain and one in Swaziland, Africa. Mm. And so it's exciting. We have gone, and we're around 8,500 in weekend attendance right now. A little perspective, 5 years ago, we were about 2,500.
Wow, that's incredible.
So the last 5 years has been a fun ride. Learned a ton.
Yes.
And made a lot of mistakes, and hopefully are doing some things well. And it's been quite a journey. My journey as an executive pastor is pretty unique for a lot of XPs, executive pastors around the country. Mm-hmm. I was a youth pastor for 14 years. Mm-hmm. Then I was a campus pastor.
Yep.
And an executive pastor for 3.
Right.
And which is kind of a unique mix.
Yeah,
and
that is interesting.
That was when multi-site wasn't big. It was about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I did campus pastor for 3 years. Then we planted a church. Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I planted a church not too far away. Then long story short, our lead pastor, Rob Ketterling, and I merged our 2 churches together. And we went multi-site.
Right.
And, so in the last 5.5 years, we went from 3 campuses to the 8. Mm-hmm. So now I'm back being an executive pastor again. And have the opportunity to speak. I probably do 8 or 9 weekends a year.
Wow.
As well. So mm-hmm. that's a real part of the enjoyment. But team development, raising up our team, finding staff, kind of is just a huge thing. Whoever has the best staff wins.
Nice. Now, you were saying just before when we got started, you were saying this weekend is kind of a unique weekend for something, a first in the last 3 years. Give us a sense of what that is. What was that?
Yeah, I was just sharing that. I shared with our team on Tuesday. This week is the first week in 2.5 years we haven't been in a building program.
That's incredible.
We have built 3 church buildings in the last 2.5 years.
Wow.
So not one, but 3, and each one is overlapped, which is either insane or God's in the equation or whatever. And some of that is Pastor Rob's, he's a strong visionary, and
right.
But God's been faithful, and we've learned from so many people. But mm-hmm. So we're taking a little breathing room. But we really, right now, we have room in our campuses for growth of about 4,000 more.
Oh, wow.
So we feel positioned well.
Exciting.
If it's another couple years before we build, I'm all good with that because we can, and Pastor Rob is too, because we can grow.
Yes.
And that's always our desire.
Nice. Now, you've obviously, to be an executive pastor in the role that you're in a growing church that's, you know, in a really rapid expanding time, you obviously must be growing as a leader. What are you doing to kind of grow yourself, grow the people around you? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the straightest answer for me is I find people around the country and I network with them. And so, and I don't just say, I mean, I don't just network with just their blogs or their Twitter feed. I network with them personally. And so what, and I challenge our staff to do the same thing, but I've done it. Rob does it. And I think it's a huge part of our growth is I find I'm close with three or four people that are in what I would call similar positions, but have greater influence. And so for me, I'd see that actually more, it's probably six or seven,
right?
Because I really love networking, but I have six or seven executive pastors in my life that are in peers in position, but not peers in influence. And they may be three campuses behind beyond us or 10,000 people beyond us or maybe an uncle to me where they've been an XP and they're in their mid 50s and they've been in it 20 years where I've been an XP for 7 years.
Right.
And so that's, to be honest, I mean, I could say I read, I do podcasts and I do all that stuff, but that those connections are huge. And we've kind of thrown that through our team as well. We place an expectation on every key staff member to do that.
Now, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how you develop those kind of relationships. Part of what I love about this is, you know, this has been very similar in my life, that reaching out and interacting, actually trying to develop relationships with people in similar, you know, ministries is critically important. How do you do that? How have you started some of those relationships with
people? Oh, that's a great question. And my answer is I chase them. I mean it. Right. And I believe you got to chase people. And I think when you chase people, what I mean is it's not just my assistant sending one email. I try to get in their world. And it might be, I'll try to be at their conference. I'll try, if I really want them in my life, I'll try to be at their network event and just and create a connection, say, can we have coffee, whatever. And then usually if I chase them, you find out, is there a God equation there or not? Is there a chemistry? And you've probably found this as well. Most of the guys and gals around the country that are doing amazing, they love to network with people too.
Yes.
So as long as you're not wasting time, they've been all in. But to be honest, I probably chased eight and got six.
Right.
You know, two of them just didn't seem to connect. And whether it was time or seasonal life, and that's all good. And there's probably two that would say that about me too, that around the country, there's other people maybe that have chased me and I have natural connections. So I tell people the onus is on me if I'm gonna, if I want somebody to network in my life. And so
absolutely, give us a sense of where that line between chasing someone, which I love that language, versus harassing them is. What does that look like for you, and how have you kind of tried to balance that out?
Yeah, after my kind of line is, I will make a couple connections, and then I will ask them a clarity question.
And I
just think most people appreciate that, and I'll just ask them, do you have time for another, what I would call another network connection in your life, and Noah's okay. And I say that to them because I think most people, yourself, myself, I think you want to know, what are you asking of me?
Yes.
And so I'm also clear of, hey, I'd love to network by text, you know, 10, 12 times a year and just talk on the phone. But it's usually I found out when I ask that question, they might say, oh, it's not a good season, time or whatever. And I just let them off gracefully and then we're good.
Absolutely. I think that whole, hey, no pressure. I really value you. I value your relationship. I would love to connect more, but hey, no pressure. You know, that's fine. Can you give us a story or an example of a time where, you know, you would say a relationship like this has been critical or been decisive in your leadership where it's, you know, it's made a difference. It's kind of gone beyond just the conference. It's gone beyond reading someone's blog or listening to a podcast where you've it's, you know, either maybe they've helped with something, they've helped, you know, kind of take, you know, something further. Give us an example of that.
I believe the relationship, I'm passionate about this, so shut down when I go too long here, okay?
No, absolutely.
I'm passionate about it. I look at it, I believe the relationship goes from introduction to an affinity to a relationship. And so it, those other conference roundtable stuff, the guys I'm talking about, and there's it just there could be a lady as well, but right now it's some XPs that are guys that are in my life. Right yesterday, literally yesterday, I was texting two of them about some strategic staffing decisions we were making here at River Valley. And it could have been, one of them was staffing dollars overall ratio to budget. And I just said, give me your insight. What do you recommend? What were you doing when you were our size? Because we have the relationship already, we can do it by text. Mm-hmm. Because there's a trust factor there.
Yes.
I learned we won't do it with each other if we just met each other at a conference.
Right.
But once they know, so will that just happened yesterday, because we're looking at 2016 kind of staff salary allocations. And these two were just, they responded within 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to set up an appointment. You don't have to. And so that's where that's valuable. We just agree together that we trust that relationship. Mm-hmm. We don't bother each other with a lot of small stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very cool. You know, I know I have a similar relationship with a guy who's, you know, does a really good job on the group side. And as an example from our, you know, from my ministry, you know, we have really struggled with groups. Like, you know, I think like so many attractional churches, you know, that is an area where we just have to continue to pour the gas on, absolutely, continue to work with. And this was years ago. I would say it would be almost 10 years ago. I remember interacting with him. This person has written a book. He will remain nameless in this conversation on the groups thing. And we were talking about the whole coaching, you know, so you've got leaders and then you bump them up to become coaches of groups. And we were really struggling with that. We have a hard time sticking with that. And so that we were in this, you know, I would say a fairly, you know, we had a good relationship. And the person said, hey, yeah, like that doesn't really work for us at our church either. I said, well, that's what's in your book. And he was like, well, it did at one phase. It doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect example where, you know, there things evolve, things change, and being in a relationship like this will help you, you know, take it to another level. Now, how are you encouraging your staff to get involved in these? Because I've struggled with this as well. I'll tell our staff, if we're going to send you to a conference, I want you to come back with relationships. You don't, not just a notebook full of, you know, points. The bigger thing is come back with one or two people that you can actually call. That's a bigger value. How are you doing that in your church?
Yeah, just back to what you just mentioned, because I think it was so awesome. Mm-hmm. That is, you said, hey, it's not in your book. That's not the way you do it.
Yes.
What I love about the relationships you and I are talking about is I call it a peek under the tent. Mm. It's a peek behind the curtain.
That's very good.
And it's the honest view.
Right.
Not the publicity view of what's going on at the church. Not that the publicity is untrue, but you can judge that for yourself. It is that peek behind the tent where you get the real story. And so for our staff, I mean, I oversee all of our department heads, all our ministry department heads, all of our campus pastors. And so in that role, they're held accountable to have a minimum of three of these relationships in their lives. And it's tied to their performance evaluation.
Wow, that's great.
And so
you're taking this serious. This isn't just like, hey, it'd be great for you to do this.
Yeah, I think if I could, I'd share a principle that's kind of big in my life this year. Mm-hmm. I always kind of have different things. 2015, right this year, a principle in my life is I think the difference between average and effective is application. I do. I think that if there's a gap between average and effective, it's an application. An application isn't the most exciting visionary word that people like to use, but I think we have so much information.
Yes.
And podcasts like this and Stanley stuff I'm listening to and Crochelle's and all these, there's so much information and it's, oh, I read this book and I did this and but it stays there in that information phase. And I think these relationships, it's all about application.
Absolutely.
Like my call yesterday, my friend was like, help me apply this.
Yes.
Help me. How did you, if you went from 45% wages and benefits to 35, how did you do that?
Right.
Versus let's do it and no information. So it is serious on our team. Mm-hmm. And I would say some are more excited about it than others. But the ones that are not, we're trying to move them along because we've said we want to be effective. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be average. Mm-hmm. And because kingdom souls are at stake. We're trying to reach people.
Absolutely. I think there's a part two here in where, you know, the reality of it is our churches are, you know, across the country, we're wrestling with the same issues, the conversation you just talked about, you know, staff to expense ratio, you know, that every church and I don't know, hundreds of people that are listening in now are thinking that question. They're wondering about that. And so, you know, rather than just being in your room wondering, maybe I can come up with this myself, let's use the wisdom of each other, to learn, you know, from each other for sure. Anything else you'd love to share on this topic before we jump on with the rest of the episode?
Yeah, I think the better the relationship you have with a few, and I don't call them coaches, but I call them peer mentors. They're peers, but they're mentoring. And I think when you're a peer mentor, the roles can change too. Sometimes I can mentor you, you can mentor me. And it's really clear. I just think the closer you are, the better information you get. And because the closer you are, the higher level of the trust. And it's one, and that could be true for youth pastors, campus pastors, kids pastors, executive pastors. It's true for lead pastors. Mm-hmm. I see Pastor Rob model this in his own world, where mm-hmm. he's chased some really effective pastors around the country, mm-hmm. and now he's in their lives, and mm-hmm. and he learns a ton. And now there's other pastors chasing him. So you're right, we're super passionate about it.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
I'm going to jump into the lightning round. This is the part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. Today, it's been our privilege, our honor, really, to have Darren with us from River Valley Church. Super excited to have him with us. Darren, thanks for being here today. So what is an online resource you've been using these days that's been helping you in your ministry?
Yeah, I'm not a technology guru. I tell my system I'm about six months to the lagging behind. This no, year for me, it's been Tripit and Wunderlist.
Okay, great. Those are
two things. Tripit, and I know a lot of people use it. Mm-hmm. I travel probably 2 days a week, 20 times a year.
Okay.
And averages that between some mission trips and some other things. Mm-hmm. So that has been an incredible resource to me, mm-hmm. where it pulls it all together. And then Wunderlist is just trying to figure, it's been a help for our senior leadership team. Mm-hmm. And where we are able to, Wunderlist basically helps us add things to an agenda and it not have to go through an administrative assistant.
Right, absolutely. Great stuff. What's a book you're reading these days that's having, you know, an impact on your thinking?
Yeah, Teams That Thrive.
Oh, it's, great book.
I'm probably 90. I just was reading it, finishing up this morning, mm-hmm. about 90% done. Warren Bird's one of the two authors. I'm not sure the other guy, mm-hmm. but it's challenging to the core.
Yes.
It's really about, are you a senior leadership team, a strategic team, or are you a work group?
Yes.
And who has the gun in the room? You know, it's tied to, I love Lencioni's stuff. I love Jim Collins' stuff. Mm-hmm. And this kind of really puts the screws to you a little bit. And so that's my practical. Then I just started reading Brian Houston's new book. I think it's called Live, Love, Lead or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm about a third of the way through that.
Cool. That's great. Yeah. We had Ryan Hartwig and Warren Bird on about that book. It's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, you really should. It's on my must read list. It's a great book for sure.
Absolutely.
What's another ministry you're looking to that's kind of inspiring you these days?
I'm sure, like a lot of guys, but it's true for me, Life Church, mm-hmm. LifeChurch.tv. Yep. And one of the people in my life I mentioned is one of their directional leadership people. And I love how, even though they're 60,000 people or whatever they mm-hmm. are, and they are in that range and so many campuses, mm-hmm. They're a multi-site model. We're a multi-site model, but mm-hmm. they do what I call medium-sized locations. Mm-hmm. So it is transferable. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, they don't build 4,000 seat auditoriums everywhere.
Right.
Building these 1,000 seat, 800 to 1,200. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is they're so generous. You know, they're the creator of YouVersion. Mm-hmm. They're so generous with their resources.
So true. That's so
and
true.
And so even though maybe we're a little different flavor of a church, I love, and that side inspires me. Their generosity inspires me.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's a great church for sure. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with and why?
Yeah, my hard answer is Billy Graham.
Oh, you're playing the Trump card. That's the Trump card.
That's my hard answer. My practical answer would probably be Craig Rochelle.
Okay.
Because now I know a couple of his team members really well.
Yep.
And why wouldn't you want to meet with this guy that's leading one of the greatest churches in our country? But Billy Graham, I'm at that season where I just, legacy's turning more and more important to me, mm-hmm. You know, late 40s and, mm-hmm. and thinking about that, and my mm-hmm. kids are getting older, mm-hmm. and that whole thing of legacy and yep. what's coming behind, and not worried about the limelight quite as much. Mm-hmm. But, and I think that's a huge part of an XP's role, mm-hmm. is kind of legacy we develop and help our team start to develop.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, I'm sure leading there at River Valley is just, it's all consuming, but you must do something to kind of kick back and relax. What do you do for fun when you just kind of looking to relax a little bit, enjoy life?
Yeah, I'm not real good at it, but I love to golf.
Oh, golf. Nice. Good.
I'm sure that's probably most people's, a lot of people say I'm not, you know, but I've been able to golf last couple of years, Pebble Beach and Spanish Bay and Spyglass. And these are some really, I've never golfed Augusta, where the Masters is, but it is, I love it because I can blame nobody but myself. You know? Right. You can't blame the referees. You can't blame anything.
Yes.
And it really, I love it because it does. It takes your concentration, yep, which then makes me disengage from work. So Love that. Love the mountains, though, too. Skiing in the mountains.
Oh, nice. Good. Well, you're in a good part of the country for skiing, too. So that's good.
Yeah, it gets cold enough.
That's great. Well, Darren, thanks so much for being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you, because maybe they want to chase you down, or if they want to, you know, learn more about the church, how can they do that?
Yeah, the easiest way, if they're not really connected to us, would be they reach out to me through Twitter, and so at Darren Poley, and they can just reach out that way, or they can email me right off River Valley's website. Especially if they're looking at, we do some roundtables and different things, and we're starting to network. But basically, we just want to be a resource if we can be. So those are easy ways.
Nice. Darren, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate you investing in the people that are listening in.
It was an honor to do it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.